When I enter the cloud these days on my computer, I'm frightened too. Everything in that cloud. When I was preparing, oftentimes when I prepare for a homily, I'll call upon a saint or someone I have devotion to. And, of course, Meister Eckhart is my favorite mystic. And so I called upon Meister in prayer and then did a little bit of reading about what he had to say about this story of the Transfiguration. And I think about it, more and more I'm turning to the mystic and to mystical theology, which I didn't take a course in when I was in grad school. They didn't even offer it. But I turned to mystical theologians and to poetry, more and more poetry. Seems to speak to me a lot more about God and reality. And it's not so much I want to imitate these saints that I look towards, but I want to know what they knew. I want to experience what they experienced. I seek what they sought. And so I think we all do. So a lot of this is going to be Meister, not Richard. And I was wondering, why put this in at Lent? Scholars tell us that this is a resurrection story. And somehow somebody snuck it in, Luke snuck it in this part of his gospel. But it is a resurrection story when you think about it, when you look at it. And so I think, well, maybe we have this reading during Lent. The church decides they have it during Lent, so that we keep the goal in mind as we look in at ourselves and try to, you know, rid ourselves of our selfishness and self-centeredness and our egotism and all the rest of it, that the goal of it all is to be able to see the divinity within everyone and everything, which they saw. They had this amazing experience. So maybe that's why it's here. Nevertheless, on Mount Tabor, the disciples realize, according to Luke, for the first time, who Jesus really was. He was always, always transparent to the divine, but they didn't see it. We know from reading the Gospels, especially Mark's Gospel, that they didn't get it. They never understood who Jesus was until after the resurrection. But they never really did see it. Except here on Mount Tabor, they recognize him. He's the Son of the living God. His true essence, appears, it even gleams through his clothing. The divine permeates everything, unchecked. But Meister would say to us, you do not stop there. We're not allowed to come to stop at Jesus. We are to recognize our true shape in Jesus, for we too, although we don't see it, are full of God. We too are an epiphany of the divine. Unfortunately, our eyes are blocked, just as the eyes of the disciples were blocked the entire time. Life would be so simple if we could always recognize who we are, if we could recognize who others truly are, if we could experience the radiance that gleams through their clothing. If we could see beyond appearances, most of us get stuck right there, appearance, how big or small or how tall or whatever, or the size, the shape, the color, the personality, we don't see beyond that. Our eyes are blocked. We don't see that whole world, the whole world, all of it is Tabor. It's what Deshazen, we call the divine milieu. That even suffering is imbued with the divine. We live in the midst of shining, radiant people, but we haven't progressed enough to realize it. But Jesus did. He always saw the divine in everyone and recognized God's presence everywhere. But we don't. One day we will. I guess that's when the second coming will happen. One day we'll all have developed, spiritually developed. And there are different stages of faith and development that we see in people's lives, and states of consciousness and higher states and all that. We'll get to that point, I guess, enough persons to recognize ourselves as the sons and daughters of God that we are. My friend Eckhart, he thinks that our first responsibility is to realize who we are. He says, now one authority says, God became man, and through that, all the human race has been ennobled and honored. This authority, he says, has said well. But, really, I'm not much concerned about this. How would it help me if I had a brother who was a rich man and I still remained a poor man? Or how would it help me if I had a sister who was a wise woman if I remained a fool? Meister wants us to understand that this applies to us too. And all the mystics do in all my readings. What good would it do me if Jesus was transfigured in this fashion and I were not? The holiness and divinity of Jesus is ours as well, they say. Now, in the saints whom we venerate today, they're not holy because they performed some kind of heroic deed or deeds. Even if that is supposed to be part of the whole canonization process and trial. They are saints because they are persons in whom the divine made a breakthrough. We see the divine in them. But we fail and we forget that the divine is always in us. All he wanted for us to realize is that we are children of God, that the kingdom of God is within us, and that we bear eternal life in our hearts. Now, on the path of contemplation, I hope that you take, when you go on the path of contemplation, when you really seriously go inward and you discover, my God, there's a bigger universe in there than there is outside, it seems that this is the most improbable thing in the world. Because I guess, first of all, you have to go through all that gunk and all that crap. Dr. Alexander described that as part of his book. I think that's what he was talking about. That's the thing. First come into contact with is maybe our shadow in our ego, which blocks the way, that doesn't want to die. We have to see ourselves in the powerlessness of the ego, so that the ego, we go looking for our true essence. But first of all, we have to come in face-to-face with our powerlessness before we'll make the next step. And that's the same thing is true of all steps and stages and development of consciousness. But, many of us, this comes from Rohr this past week, and I mentioned it this morning at our discipleship class. As many have said, the truth will set you free. But first, it must make you miserable. In order to grow, sometimes we gotta take the next step in our development. We have to be done with and tired of where we've been so that we're ready for the next step. But our true essence is hidden from our eyes, but it's still there. And Jesus promises us that. He and God are constantly telling us through the scriptures of who we are. But it seems we've been told another story, or else we're telling ourselves another story, which is believing the lie. That we're not worthy, that we're not sons and daughters of God. Well, maybe some of us are, but others aren't, of course. So the early church fathers used to say that we are the dance of the divine. God dances in us, they said. And when we say in us, that can easily be misunderstood, as though God were in us as some kind of container. No, that's not the way it is. Rather, the divine, and not some human figure, is dancing itself. But as Christians, we have a hard time accepting that. We're afraid. Most of us in this room are afraid of moving too close to God. I know I am. I have to give up too much, maybe. We're afraid. We're afraid that the wall between us might fall. Or maybe that we'd be called a pantheist. I'm God. No. That for some people is an intellectual difficulty. And it vanishes. I know I'm not God. My ego would like to be, but actually it doesn't accord with the experience. In our experiences, I hope that you realize that we are in God and God is in us. And that's not pantheism. That's panentheism. You have to have the EN in there. There's an image used in the East that is helpful for me. It may be helpful for you. I don't know. I like images. That I think helps to explicate this problem. And it's called the golden lion. You familiar with the golden lion? Well, gold can exist only in one form or another. Gold cannot exist, never exist formless. Gold may appear in the form of a lion, but then the gold and the lion can't be separated. But gold isn't a lion, and the lion isn't gold. Likewise, the divine reality remains distinct from us human, from the human form, but nevertheless, the divine is the human form. God only can come to us in form. So, the divine can only appear in one form or another form. Just as there is gold in this form or that, but there's no abstract gold in itself. We know that God in God's self is incomprehensible, but only can be known in some form. Therefore, God and humanity coexist. God in us, us in God. So, in the end, religion. I don't know what your thoughts about religion are and what religion is for. But a lot of people think that religion is all about rules and commandments and laws and having to do with morality and the way we behave and certain beliefs and that. But really, the main task of religion is to lead us to the realization of our essence, to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose and the meaning of life? Religion still speaks this in many different images it gives us, like returning to the bosom of the Father, as Jesus would say, or to the Father's house, or to the kingdom of God, or to the heavenly city of Jerusalem. But in reality, we don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to return. You don't have to go anywhere. We need only to give our own divine depths an opportunity to find us. That's what we got to do. That's what you got to do, is to give the opportunity, your own divine depths, the opportunity for God to find you. The game of hide and seek. So let me say in the end, during this Lent, we examine ourselves. We're called to face our shadow, to go out into the desert, and to confront that which in us is not of God, to see the fences, the walls that we've built up, that keep us from the experience of the joy that God intends for our lives. It's God's intention. It's nothing but joy. The true purpose of religion, as Jesus reveals it, is to facilitate our letting go of the self and to become more and more aware of our oneness with God and the God's spirit presence, which pervades all of life. That's what religion is for. So, I don't know what you're doing for Lent, but this seeing just doesn't happen. It takes discipline and practice and prayer and contemplation and, most of all, grace. So do what you need to do to awaken this God's presence in yourself and in the world. And I hope by the end of Lent, and I don't think it's going to happen, by the end of our lives perhaps, may our Lenten journey lead us to Mount Tabor, where we see each other shining. And then once we have the experience, we have to come down together and begin to live and act and to be the body of Christ, which we truly are.